Hasn't it been wonderful to be in the house of the Lord? So precious, so dear. I invite you to take your copy of God's Word and join me in the Gospel of John. In John's Gospel, the 12th chapter, there are two verses of Scripture that I would like to call your attention to. It is a focus on Christ on the cross. And that is our focus this morning, Christ on the cross. Today we pause to remember and reflect upon the death of our Savior, on the death of Jesus. And in just a few moments, we will receive the elements that the Lord gave to us, instructing us that as often as we do this, we proclaim His death. We are here to remember that great price that our Savior, Jesus Christ, gave to paid for our sin and the gift He gave to us. But in this 12th chapter of John's Gospel, there are two verses, and our Lord is speaking in verse 32. And He says, "And I, when I am lifted up from the earth, will draw all people to myself." And this He said, signifying by what death He would die. In those two verses of Scripture, would you reflect with me for just a moment, especially on verse 32? There are three things I emphasize from this verse. Look at the Scripture. It says, "And I, if I." We'll focus on that part for just a moment. This, if you would, is about the person of Christ. Remember with me the person of Christ. In Matthew's Gospel, He is Messiah. He is the one promised of the prophets of old, of God, given to us. He is Messiah. In Mark's Gospel, He is the servant. He is God's servant. And He is serving the purpose of God in every aspect of His life and in the life of the people around Him. He is the servant of God. In Luke's Gospel, Luke identifies Jesus as the Son of Man. He is born of the Virgin Mary. He is the God-man, but He is the man. He is human. He is 100% human and clearly identifies with you and me in every aspect of our life. He is the Son of Man. But it is in John's Gospel that he takes a little different turn and focus, gives to us a little different focus on the person of Christ, and he emphasizes that Jesus is the Son of God. But I tell you, whether you call Him Messiah or whether you call Him servant, you may call Him Son of Man or you may call Him Son of God, I call Him Savior because nobody but Jesus gave their life for me. I tell you, nobody has done for LaRue or you what Jesus did. He stood in the face of God's wrath and paid our sin debt with His precious blood. That's my Savior. That's my Jesus. And so when we look at this one verse, Jesus says, "And I, if I am lifted up," it is a focus on the person of Christ, who He is, but it goes one step further. I ask you to also consider with me and remember with me the passion of the cross. He says in verse 32, "And I, when I am lifted up," do you see this? "When I am lifted up from the earth," this is an emphasis on the passion of the cross. Verse 33 tells us that Jesus was speaking of the way that He would die, the nature of the death that He was about to encounter and experience. It's just days away. And here in that statement, "When I am lifted up from the earth," it is a picture of Christ being suspended between heaven and earth. It is the death. It is the cross. When you think of Him hanging on the cross, I ask you to remember with me, just remember with me, the wounds that He suffered there. Every wound known to mankind, he experienced on the cross. There is the contusion where he was struck in the face with the fist of those who were jeering and making fun of him. And not only did he suffer a contusion, he also suffered a puncture. When they thrust the crown of thorns on his head, his flesh was punctured. And then he was pierced. He was pierced by the nails through his hands and through his feet. Our Lord Jesus experienced contusion. He experienced puncture. He experienced piercing, but he also experienced abrasion. They threw him down. The Lord Jesus was thrown down on the cobblestone. Some of you have been with me in Israel, and we've gone to where the Praetorian Guard was. Friend, that is where our Savior was taken, and he was mocked, and they made fun of him, and they threw him down there on those hard cobblestone stone rocks, and he fell, and he skinned himself. He suffered abrasion. But then they took him from there and they beat him. They gave to him the lashes from the cat of nine tails where he was scourged. 39 blows with that cat of nine leather strips embedded with sharp rock and bone. And his flesh across his back and across his sides were lacerated as they beat him with that cat of nine tails. Oh, I'm talking about the cross of Jesus, the passion. And the suffering that he experienced there. Go with me. And when I am lifted up from the earth, he suffered all five experiences of wound known to man. But he suffered more. He suffered through dehydration. He hung there. His blood had been shed, and he is hanging there, and he's developing fever, and he is dehydrated. How long has it been since they'd given him water? And they had put him through such. And in the sun, in the heat, dehydration was setting in. And then, if you would allow me to do so, I would like to move from the physical aspect to the social aspect. He was hanging there, humiliated. Here is the Son of God, Messiah. Here is the Son of Man. Here is the servant of God, suspended between heaven and earth. Listen, oh dear friend, our Savior's cross was a place of suffering. Oh, how he suffered. I think about this verse and I read, and if I, that's the person of Christ, if I am, and when I am lifted up from the earth, that is the passion of the cross. And then I want you to note the power of this cross. I will draw all people to myself. Well, that would catch your eye, wouldn't it? If you walked by that day, seeing what was taking place on the hill called Mount Calvary, Golgotha, and there he was hanging, well, that would catch your eye. I tell you today, people wear crosses, and people talk about the cross of Christ, and it will catch the eye of people. People notice the jewelry, and it can give you opportunity to share with others about the passion and the suffering of the Lord Jesus Christ. But listen to me. Please hear my heart. Not only will it catch your eye, it will awaken the mind. Ponder with me what Jesus went through here on the cross, and how can you not be enlightened, awakened? But I tell you, more than catching the eye and awakening the mind, the cross of Jesus Christ has the power to convict the soul. When I heard about what my Savior had done for me, and as I heard my pastor preaching as a young man, I come under conviction because he did that for me. He did that for me. Had all of you been righteous and pure and holy and sinless, he would still have come, because I'm telling you, I know my heart. I know me, a broken man, sinful man, needing a Savior, and God sent his Son for me. And it brought conviction to my soul. I'm here to say that the power of the cross It will catch the eye. It will awaken the mind, but it convicts the soul of its sin, of its brokenness, and of its need for a Savior. Amen? All right. Are you with me? Come on now. And then not only does it convict the soul, it called me to God. And it calls you to God. Think with me. The power of the cross. You know, we've had some wonderful presidents through the past centuries. We've had some wonderful governors through the past centuries. We've had some wonderful pastors through the past centuries. But nobody calls me to God like Jesus calls me to God. Think with me just a moment about what Christ did for you. And when I ponder and when I pause long enough to reflect and remember about the cross and what he did, friend, it makes me want to take a stand with him. It makes me want to go to him and say, I'm sorry for what I did to you. It makes me want to go to him and say, thank you for doing for me what no one else could do. Oh, it moves me. It calls me to Jesus. That's the power of the cross. All in one little verse. Right here in verse 32, and I, when I am lifted up from the earth, will draw all people to myself. It makes me want to say that I am ashamed of my life and what I have done to such a God like Jesus. A Savior. I needed a Savior. And God sent Jesus. I had a debt I could not pay. And Jesus went to the cross to pay my debt. I needed help. And from the cross, Jesus said, the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost. Friend, when you have more time, pause to remember and reflect upon the death of Jesus. Oh, what a Savior we have. Oh, what a price he paid. And oh, what a joy that he calls me to himself from the cross of Jesus. It beckons us to come to this table. So I ask you, are you prepared to receive the bread and the juice? Could we pause for just a moment and ask our Savior, our God, to cleanse us, to give us clean hands with which to receive it, clean heart and mind with which to appreciate it? Let's pray. Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for the challenge you give us through the life and the death of our Savior. A challenge that bids us to come to you. And Lord, we ask you to give us clean hearts and pure minds. Lord, it will require your forgiveness. It will require you to pardon us for our sinfulness, for our disobedience, for our rebellion. Would you do that now? Lord, bless as we turn to the table. Help us to be grateful people. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. There are men who've been contacted to serve us today. I want to ask them to come on down and take your place. And those of you who are our guests, just allow me to remind you once again that we invite you to join with us. We want you to be a part of this remembrance of our Savior. Oh, what He did for us, what nobody else could do, He graciously, willingly, and perfectly did it. Amen. Oh, what a Savior. Let's ask God to bless the bread that we're about to receive. Father, we thank You for the bread that reminds us of the body of Christ, how His body was bruised and wounded, and how His body and His heart was broken because of our sin. Lord, we ask You to bless this bread that we are about to receive, that it might remind us that our Savior was like us in the flesh. But He was more than us. He was God, our God-man, our Savior. Father, thank You. Thank You for allowing us to remember our Savior and His death. Bless the bread as we receive it. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. In your hand, you hold a piece of bread. In just a moment, we're going to raise the bread from where you're holding it to your mouth. And when I am lifted up, will draw all men, all people to Myself. Yes, this is the bread that came down from heaven, not the bread that our forefathers ate and died. He who eats this bread shall live forever. We remember the body that was broken, beaten, and we remember the blood shed to seal our covenant with God, the new covenant. In My blood, He said. Let's pray. Father, thank You for the gift that Jesus gave to us when He allowed Himself to be crucified. His blood dripped from His body, a price no man should have to pay. But because of our sin, He willingly paid the ultimate price that our sin debt might be covered. Thank You, Father, for the precious blood of Jesus. Bless the cup as we receive it. Remind us of His suffering, of His death, because of us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. And so our Lord gave Himself. It was not a pretty sight. It wasn't in a nice air-conditioned environment. It was a very hot, dusty, even vulgar place. But He willingly went. You see, the shedding of blood started way before He got to the cross. He started back at the Praetorian Guard, where He was humiliated, where the crown of thorn was thrust on His head. To make sure it didn't fall off, they took the scepter they had fashioned and put in His hand, and struck Him across the head to make sure that it was embedded well enough not to fall off. with blood trickling down from his brow. They beat him. And with blood dripping from his back and sides, who knows where else, then he took the beam, the cross, and made his way to Golgotha, the place of the skull. Everybody knew what took place there. But it was the blood that God said would be a covering for your sin and mine. Now tell me, does the cross of Jesus, does that cross not draw you to him? Doesn't it call for you today? That's the power of the blood of Jesus. Oh, it beckons us, come. And so with the cup, we remember. We remember the ultimate covering for our sin. The new covenant, Jesus said, this cup is the new covenant in my blood. His body emptied. The cup consumed. They took it, put it in a tomb. But from the tomb, that cup called. That cup wasn't empty. That cup was steady giving life for you and me. That cup calls. And it's calling to us today. And so we're going to invite you to come to the Christ who gave his life for you, that you might have life, life eternal, life with the Lord God and with our Savior. Life, would you come? It's an invitation. Come to Jesus. Let's stand together. Let's sing. Let's come to Christ. Oh, what a Savior.
Sing with me now. This is my desire.
Yes, come.